Kevin Harvick, congratulations on winning today's Real Heroes 400 at Darlington. We can see you now. That's great. Congratulations on the victory. Walk us through how you were able to accomplish that today and NASCAR's first race back.
Yeah, well, the first thing I want to do is just thank everybody from NASCAR, all the teams and the whole industry for getting us back on the racetrack. I think everybody in this garage is so excited to be here. I was up at 6 o'clock pacing around my porch this morning, you know, trying to decide when I was going to leave. So I was excited to get back in the car. Today was just a well-executed day. We were fortunate to, you know, we had the first pit stall, kept our track position all day, and were able to, you know, have a good Busch Light Ford and have good restarts and do everything we needed to do to keep our track position. And in the end, that was the key for us. We had a fast car, but, you know, staying out front was the key to the equation.
Good deal. We will open the floor up for questions. Again, if you have a question for Kevin, go ahead and hit the participants button and raise your hand. We'll try to get to as many of you as possible. We're going to start with Alan Cavana from Fox Sports. Go ahead with your question, Alan. Okay, we will go next to Doug Turnbull with PRN. Go ahead, Doug.
Hey, thank you, Matt. Kevin, Doug Turnbull from PRN. I guess that we've asked other people this. What was the weirdest part of the day for you? Was it coming to the track and having nothing to do, or was it just no fans being there, or no handlers, or having to race without practice or qualifying?
The weirdest part of the day for me was getting out of the car and not hearing anybody cheering. You know, I think as you look at that, the part in the car was really not that much, because you know, when the engines are running and things are running, it's, you know, you're just in your own little world in the car. You know, look, I've been around the steel for a long time. This is not like anything I've ever experienced, but I can tell you that it's very similar to, you know, coming back after 9/11. But that day had, you know, just 100,000 fans in the stands, and now you have no fans. So the practice and in the car part are something that we can all figure out. The part of not having any fans in the infield for me, that kind of took some of that enthusiasm of the win away, just because of the fact that you weren't able to celebrate with the crowd. And so for me, that was really awkward, because I feed off of that stuff and enjoy those types of moments. And you know, for me, didn't really know what to say after the race, because it's just such a unique situation that we're in.
Thank you.
Okay. Our next question will come from Deb Williams. Go ahead, Deb.
Hi, Kevin. Congratulations.
Thank you.
This was your 50th Cup career victory today, and that ties you with NASCAR Hall of Fame members Junior Johnson and Ned Jarrett. Could you please talk about what that means to you?
Well, when you say those two names, obviously they're a huge part of us who helped build this sport, and obviously Hall of Famers. And it's, you know, it's just an honor to have your name next to them. So, you know, for me, it's a little bit surreal, I guess you'd say, because of the fact that I don't really like it things. But, you know, it would be disrespectful to not give those guys credit for what they do and you know, what a huge honor it is to have my name sitting next to them. So I've been fortunate, you know, especially since I've come to Stewart Haas Racing. This was 27 wins together with this group of guys. And I think that experience today, you know, going into our seventh year here, has really paid off, you know, in getting our car right, making adjustments on our car, you know, rebounding from the adversity of a bad pit stop, and all the things that came with the day turned into a race winning day. And that says a lot about the experience of our team, the depth that we have, you know, with everything that Gene and Tony give us. It's just been a lot of fun to drive fast race cars, and you know, to have your name next to those guys goes to show you how fortunate I am to be able to ride in those fast race cars, and we've been able to capitalize on a few.
Thank you.
Yep.
Our next question will come from Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead, Jordan.
Kind of following up on that, Kevin, I know you don't always like to talk about your legacy and everything, but when you get to this milestone of 50 wins and you look at your career at the totality of it, where do you look at it? Where do you rank yourself among, you know, the place in history?
Look, I just want to have a good impact on the sport. I may not have thought about that in the first 25 wins. Well, actually, probably need to back up a few wins before that, because I think for me, going to Stuart Haas Racing, you know, I kind of had a new approach in how I wanted to represent myself. Kids has really changed, you know, the way that you want to be presenting yourself, and so. Look, you know, I've been on a number of different sides of this sport. I've been on the ownership side of it. I've been in trouble. I've been the good guy. I've been the bad guy. You know, I've driven, you know, for RCR and now Stuart Haas Racing. So, you know, I've got to experience a lot of things. I mean, it's really hard to define legacy until it's over, right? So, you know, I think you're still writing the book of you know what you want to do and how you want things to go going forward. I know for me it's you know it's super focused on competition and doing exactly what we did today and that's winning races and putting yourself in a position to win a championship. So, you know, I feel like you know definitely been able to have a part in the sport and. It just takes people to have a part in the sport. And, you know, I think my ownership days really allowed me to kind of, you know, diversify how you think about things and how you approach things and, you know, from the sponsorship side and how you relate to the team and how you understand people. But I thrive on, you know, communicating with people and being around people and trying to make things different, better, whatever the case may be going forward. So as far as the legacy goes, I don't know how you determine that until you're done.
Thanks.
Good deal. Before we go to our next question, Kevin, your bandwidth is slightly low and it's causing a little bit of a lag, but I just wanted to make you aware of that.
Well, hey, here's the deal. I just operate off of the NASCAR Wi-Fi.
Okie dokie. Good deal. Okay, we'll see how Jim Utter fares here. We'll go next to Jim Utter. Go ahead with your question, Jim.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. I was just wondering, Kevin, if you could talk a little bit. You touched on it earlier about how you found the atmosphere when you got to the track today as far as people that you saw in person, whether it was teammates or officials or other team members. Was there a sort of a sense of relief that or excitement that the sport had started back up? Because it's one thing to talk about it and another to actually see it happen.
Yeah, I think, you know, everybody's excited about being back, but there's still that awkwardness of, you know, not wanting to screw anything up. So we didn't really want to communicate closely or, you know, do anything that might look wrong. Because I think today's message was really important to be able to make sure it was sent correctly. So, I know everybody, you know, we've all talked about it before we got in the car today, just about how excited we are, you know, to be back at the racetrack and be able to, even if we're just talking to each other on the radio, at least we're at the racetrack performing and doing what we love to do.
Good deal. Our next question will come from Bob Pockris. Go ahead with your question, Bob.
Yeah, Kevin, what was Victory Lane like?
Awkward. Usually you get out of the car and the crowd's screaming and yelling and react to your emotions and you know, stay out of the car. You know, it was like, well, I don't really know what to do here. You know, it's a situation that you got Regan over there from Fox. You know, he's 6 feet away. He's a masked man. I didn't know if I was supposed to put a mask on and talk to him. I know they had a 6-foot boom mic that you were talking to. So there was just that sense of awkwardness until we get this all situated of exactly what we're supposed to do. And then we got done, everybody left. And I'm like, okay, well, the procedure said to drive to Victory Lane. So I got back in my car and drove to Victory Lane. And there were two photographers there. No team guys. You know, I was able to kind of give my team guys a nice little, elbow bump there as I left Victory Lane and tell them great job. But, you know, those guys didn't even get a chance to take a picture with their car. So, you know, just a lot of sacrifices that go into it. But, you know, in the end, in the big picture of things, being able to do what we did today, and that's race, is what everybody wants to do.
Okay, our next question will come from Scott Chansey. Go ahead with your question, Scott. Okay, we'll move on. Davey Siegel. Go ahead, Davey, your question.
I'm back.
Go ahead with the question, please.
Sorry about that. Hey, Kevin, congratulations on the win. You've obviously had the old guys rule moniker, and that's been a thing of yours, and that paid dividends today. I'm curious as to what you thought of Matt Kenseth's performance, earning a top 10 today in his first start with the package and at a tough racetrack of all places. I know you reached around him a little bit today, but what did you think of him?
The question to Matt Humphrey.
Okay, thank you.
Here's the thing about Matt Kenseth. He should have never quit. Matt Kenseth was winning races when he retired. So, you know, I think as you look at that whole situation of when he got kind of moved out of Gibbs, Matt Kenseth is going to be a huge part of that race team and making Chip Ganassi Racing better. He's going to be great for the sponsors. And, you know, I think as you look at that, I mean, experience and skill, you know, go a long way in our sport. So if you have those two things like Matt does, you're going to be successful, and you don't just forget how to do that. So Matt's a pro, and, you know, a very good one at that.
Thank you.
We're going to try one more time with Scott Chansey with the Florence Morning News. Go ahead with your question, Scott.
Kevin, how important was the teamwork in the pits in today's win?
I mean, track position was really the thing that gives you the gave us the opportunity to win today. And, you know, I think the first pit stall and our guys rebounding from the little hiccup they had on pit road, making adjustments on the car, doing everything. I mean, when you look at a win like this today, this is an organizational win because you have to have your car dialed in when you get here in order to win a race like this. And our guys have just done a great job of putting all the pieces together and you know, today we're able to capitalize on that and win a race.
Good deal. Our next question will be from Bruce Martin. Go ahead with your question, Bruce.
Congratulations. There were a lot of people on social media today that had not watched NASCAR races regularly. There were even some who admitted they had never seen a NASCAR race. They really liked what they saw today. So how big of an opportunity do you think this is for the sport to showcase what you guys were able to do it the right way, and maybe gain some new fans?
Well, it's definitely a unique opportunity that I'm, you know, at least we can put ourselves in front of people to let them make a decision whether they like NASCAR or not. And, you know, I think as you learn about our sport, it's a great family sport with a lot of blue collar people that are just like the people that probably tuned in for the first time today. So there's not many more normal people than what you'll see in this garage. And there's not many people that many other sports that do more than the NASCAR world does. When you look at the, you know, the Real Heroes 400 and all the doctors on the car today and the way that this event went with people coming in and out of the garage and how the infield was set up. There's a lot of people that put a lot of effort into this, and I'm glad it went the way that it went. And I hope, you know, people who watched for the first time liked what they saw. And obviously this is a very unique racetrack here at Darlington, but in the end, it's, you know, it's just having that opportunity to present yourself to new people, and hopefully you can make a lot of new fans as you go forward.
And I guess with the circumstances as they were, you'll always remember win number 50.
Yeah, it was different, you know, and part of what drives me and part of the enjoyment that I have is seeing the excitement that comes from those guys on my team in Victory Lane. I get more excited to see them excited than I do actually about winning the race. So today was really, really awkward for me because I thrive off of the enthusiasm from the crowd, but I also love to see the emotion come out of the guys on my race team and celebrate that with them. So that part for me was a little bit tough.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Okay, our final question will come from Andrew Kurland. Go ahead with your question, Andrew.
Yeah, Kev, drivers describe Darlington as one of the more physically demanding tracks.
And normally you have a full week to recover, but you're going back racing on Wednesday. Does that change how you recover from a race? And what do you normally do to recover from a NASCAR race like today at Darlington?
Well, we have been off for, you know, 9 or 10 weeks. So we should be pretty fresh, you know, from the, you know, the physical standpoint. You know, for me, I've been working hard to make sure I was, you know, as in good a shape as I've been in a long time, coming back, you know, not even knowing what the schedule was, but just wanted to be better. And, you know, I think as you look at that, you know, really just the, you know, the biggest thing is 300 miles for us is a short race. You know, and I think as you look at the weather being at night, it's going to be fairly cool. The 600 miles of next week will be the one that you really, really have to pay attention to as far as, you know, what you do. But hydration is the key for me, and keeping up. You know, tomorrow I'll go exercise with Keelan and do a little, you know, some recovery stuff. But, you know, for the most part, it, you know, it's really, really about making sure that you put enough fluids back in your body.
Thank you.
Kevin, I do have one more question, and it comes from Holly Kane. Holly, please go ahead with your question.
Thank you. Congratulations, Kevin. I'll make it real quick. I just wondered if you could speak about you guys have so many races in a short amount of time. What kind of a positive send-off is this for you to get this win going into this compressed schedule that you're going to have?
Well, it's the first win of the year, so obviously that's good for our playoff chances, and it takes a little bit of pressure off on that standpoint. But, you know, I think at this point, you know, we took a drastically different approach coming to Darlington this time than we did last time, and I think obviously that paid off for us. And, you know, going into the week next week, we know how important track position is, so being buried in the field to start the race, you're just really going to have to, you know, take care of your car and do the things that you need to do to try to make up that track position. But, you know, having that first pit stall again is definitely going to be beneficial for us in making that ground up, and obviously, you know, 100 miles shorter. So, you know, nighttime will be a little bit different, but in the end, it's still the same old Darlington.
Thank you, Kevin.
Good deal, Kevin. Congratulations again, and thanks for the show today, and good luck on Wednesday night.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Take care.